All right, my friends, here it is. It's green. You may have missed it. I'm sure you have. I'm sure you just haven't put your name on it. But it's pretty easy to see that we've got Justin. I don't know what the deal is with us and Mark. You know, do they not like us? Mark, I'm sorry, brother. He's not here. But nobody. Well, we do have one. Justin and I have one under our name, and that's George. George is Job. How about that? So, please sign up before you leave. Little kids will be crying everywhere because you didn't sign up. So, if not, Justin and I will start filling names in. But anyhow, I'm glad to see you this morning. It has, as Brother Mike mentioned, been a very emotional last several days. I am very thankful for my good friend, fellow worker, and victorious brother, Gerald King. Miss Pauline, we love you very much. I know that's not the same back there without him. But they won't take his memory away from us. And so we will continue to support you and your family any way that we can. You know, when it comes to remembering, and by the way, this is a great crowd for a Memorial Day Sunday. Usually these are hard days, but thank you for being here. We do have several that are out of town, but this is Memorial Day. And I think the Memorial Day holiday is a special holiday because of what it says. It reminds us to remember. Forgetting is very much something that can be dangerous, right? You just forget an anniversary, or you forget a birthday, or you forget a doctor's appointment, or you forget to take your medicine, or something like that. Forgetting can be very dangerous to us. It can be hurtful to others as well. And when it comes to remembering important things in life, it's very important that we do remember. I think it's important that we remember men like Gerald King. I really do. I know that we will never forget him, but I think it's important that we use those treasure chests of memories to be able to focus on things and remind us. And, you know, and I'm just going to say this. I gave, hopefully, a tribute to Gerald yesterday, but I do want to say this today about him. If I were, and I am a ministry leader, but I need to lead my ministry like Gerald led his ministry. Deacons need to deke. I make that up, of course. Deacons need to deke like Gerald King deked. Okay? We need to serve like Gerald. And so if I can remember that, I can live his legacy out. I can remember who he was. You know, when it comes to, as George mentioned, in his prayer earlier, he talked about remembering what Jesus did. Jimmy came up here and reminded us about the importance of Jesus, and we partook of the bread and we partook of the cup, and of course that reminds us of that. And you have had people, and I have had people say, if you do it too much, you forget. I disagree with that. I think it's that much more impactful, right? For me to be reminded all the time of how great Jesus Christ is and what He did for me and what He did for you. You know, and it reminds us this weekend, as Monday is actually Memorial Day, that freedom is never free. And the flag still stands for freedom. And we live in the greatest country known to mankind. And the reason we are so great today, despite the challenges you hear and the problems you hear and all that, we are free today to worship our God. Because of men and women who paid the dues, who paid the price, some who gave all gave some, and some gave all, so that we can be free today, so that we can be able to worship. And we need to never, ever forget that. And so I'm thankful that we have days and holidays and weekends, so it's not about barbecue. It's not about beach. It's not about this. Even though that, you know, that happens, we need to remember why we're remembering. Because it is important for us to not forget. Because forgetting can be dangerous. And so today I want to talk with you about remembering. The Lord wanted Israel to remember, and He wants you and I to remember Him. What does it take to remember God? Now, I know that seems like a statement that we shouldn't even have to ask. Because you're like, I'll never forget God. Well, that's not true. There are times we forget God. There are times we forget we're in a saved relationship with Jesus Christ. There are times we forget to put Him first. There are times we forget to glorify His name. There are times we forget to put in a good word for Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. There are times we forget. Because if that, we call that sin, right? When we sin, we forget for a moment in time, for just maybe it's a brief few moments of pleasure, we forget how good God is, how faithful God is. And so, how can we never forget? Well, I want you to turn today to our text. You have to flip the slide for me. It's not changing, brother. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read together verses 1 through 15. One of my favorite scriptures. And we have Justin and Ashley. And we have Jack and Courtney with our teenagers this summer. Our boys and our girls. And I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful for them, Jack and Courtney, especially coming our way and helping us out. You want to know what they're interested in? They're interested in helping our families not forget God. They're interested in helping our youth not forget God. Going to school where God can't be talked about. Going to work where God can't be talked about. Going into a society and places where we can't talk about God. What happens if we don't talk about Him? We forget Him. Well, here's what God was saying to Israel, which I think He's saying to His people today. You and me, don't forget me. Here's how you don't. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes, His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Now you see, there's a big moment coming in time, right? You know what that moment is? They're entering the promised land. They're going across. They're going to be able to inherit this land. And what is He saying? He's saying, when you go over there and it's so great, guess what's going to happen? You're going to forget. You're going to forget who got you there. That's what this text is about. Don't forget who got you here. And He goes on and He says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. In other words, put them there so you don't forget. Now He's going to tell you, this is what you do. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you do not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Here's what He said. Terry's way to put it. I'm about to do some amazing things in your life. You're about to eat like you've never eaten. You're about to drink like you've never drank. You're about to live like you've never lived. You're going to cross over and it's going to be great. I'm going to make your enemies fall down before you. I'm going to take care of you and everything's going to be fine. You were just in bondage. Now I'm getting you out. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to forget unless you do this. I'm afraid sometimes here in 2019, we look around and see what all God's given to us and we think, man, I sure am blessed. How you doing today? I am blessed. Yes, I have a nice house. I have nice vehicles. I have good food. I have nice clothes. I have air conditioning. I have running water. I have all these great things around me. I've got a good job. I've got a family. Everything's great. Guess what though? I'm going to do it my way. Because I did this. I did this. God said, I want you to do these things so you don't forget. I want you to remember. What do you want me to remember, God? Number one, He said, I want you to remember that the Lord your God is one. There are a lot of gods out there. There are a lot of different things that can draw your attention away from me. But you need to remember, I am one. He goes on to say, I am also jealous. I want to be one in your life. He goes on to say, number two, I brought you out of slavery. Where were you a few years ago before God? Think about that. Where would you be today without God? Think about that. Oh yeah, there are people that are successful earthly-wise, material-wise. There are people that make a lot of money that don't have God. There are people that do a lot of great things without God. But you know what they are? They're miserable. They're miserable. You know why? Because they don't have God or they've forgotten Him. He said, I want you to remember where you were. You were in slavery. He said, I also want you to remember that I've given you blessings that you didn't deserve. Wells you hadn't dug, houses you haven't built, fields you hadn't planted. Think about the things God's given you. I challenge you, don't wait till November to do it. Do it anytime. And I like to do this for myself periodically as well. Spend your time in prayer in the next few days, not asking God for one single thing, but thanking Him for everything. Don't ask it. Just have that prayer and see the impact it makes on you. Don't say, God, do this for me. God, do this for me. God, do this for me. Say, God, thank you for this water. God, thank you for this food. Thank you for, and just go down the list and thank Him. A whole prayer of thanksgiving. It's going to change the way we look at things. Because we have a lot of things that God's done for us that we take for granted. He goes on to say, I want you to remember that you are to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There are a lot of people forgotten that today. We say we love God, but do we really love Him? What is love? Love is a verb. We've got to show that love. We've got to demonstrate that love. After all, He demonstrated toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And finally, he said in that text, you were to remember to obey all the commands, decrees, and laws. So how do we do it? How can I remember? How can I not forget God? And I know you might think that's not even a realm of possibility, but it is. Because the devil's working really hard. I'm going to tell you some practical ways. I'm a practical guy. Things that I think that we can really do real easy to make it work. First of all, we need a real faith. You see, all this is going to stem from our faith. You see, there are a lot of times we put God in a box. You ever thought about that? If I went out here and caught a turtle, okay? I had a box right here. I could put that turtle in the box and I could catch that turtle and he can be mine, but he can only do what I'm controlling him or allowing him to do. He's got perimeters around him, right? Well, here we go out and we say, I've accepted God. I've accepted Christ. I've submitted to life. I've been renewed. And you know what? I've got you, God, but guess what? You're in my perimeters. I put you in a box, okay? You see, that's not genuine faith, folks. That is garbage faith. Because when we put God in a box, we say, oh, well, He can't do that. Really? What cannot our God do? I mean, He spoke existence into existence. He took dirt and breathed life into it and made you and me. He put man to sleep and made woman. The bottom line is He can do whatever He wants to do. And so we today, if we're going to remember God, we've got to practice a genuine faith. Here are three things that Deuteronomy chapter 6 teaches us. It's about three things, and this is what it boils down to. Number one, focus. He said, remember I'm one. I'm thankful for that. I'm ADHD, I guess, maybe. I don't really know. But, I mean, I know I'm ADD, but I think they've now added the H in there. But the point of it is, I lose focus real easily. And when I've got to read, and I've got a lot to read this upcoming week, but when I've got to read, I cannot have distraction. I lose focus. It's just terrible the way my brain runs all the time. And I've got thoughts coming in right now that I want to say, and it's just, but God said, I'm one. He didn't say focus on a bunch of things. He said focus on one. So it's about focus. And then number two, it's about faith. Love the Lord your God. He is one. Put your trust in Him. Keep His commandments. Keep His laws. And then it's about family. He talked about teaching your sons and your son's sons, right? Let me tell you. I'm going to give you 10 ways real quick. 10 things that people are doing that they're losing all three. And these people think that they are faithful. You see, number one, you want to lose your family, you want to lose your faith, you want to lose your focus. Here's some things that we can do. Schedule personal or family events to conflict with church services and activities. Oh no, that person that comes, and by the way, we keep roll here at Azalea City, and listen, George mentioned in the prayer in the back, Terry, God, please help Terry be bold. And I, at the amen of that prayer, I said, I'm going to be bold today. So he prayed me up, okay? So you just know I love you. But we keep attendance, and let's say there's 50. Do you know we have some people here who are deacons that aren't getting but about half of those, or maybe less? You know why? Because I'm scheduling personal or family events, but hey, what? I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm faithful to Azalea City. I'm faithful to the church. It's so dangerous on a family. I can't tell you how dangerous it is to your family. Listen, we are all people that want to protect our families. Anybody here not want to protect their family? Inside my home, you know, I'm a fight till I can't fight anymore. Okay, I've got some guns that will help with that. Okay, I've got an alarm system, and I've got deadbolt locks. But sometimes the most dangerous thing is what's inside the house. And sometimes I could be the most dangerous thing for my family. You want your family to not be faithful? You want your family to not be focused? You want your family to not have faith? Then keep scheduling things that get in the way of church service and other godly activities. Number two, don't get close to anyone in church. Refrain from developing relationship with Christians lest your children learn the joy and benefits of fellowship with other believers. There are some people that just want to be loners, and I get that. That may be who you are personality-wise, but God is relationship-driven. And listen, not everybody here can be best friends with everybody, but we can all be cordial, we can all talk, we can all help, we can know, hey, we're family. We're family. You don't want your family to be close? Let them see you be distant. Number three, how else can we forget God? Don't take church seriously. You know, the most important thing we'll do this week is not tomorrow. It's not when you get up and go to work. The most important thing is not that paycheck that's going to come to your checking account. The most important thing we will do this week is happening right now. Right now. Whether people want to sugarcoat that, water it down, or take it away and make people feel like this isn't that important, I say unto you, I don't care what kind of degree they've got. They're wrong. This is what I've got to stand before God in judgment and say, God, worship is the most important thing I did while I was on this earth. Don't take church seriously in your homes, and you will lose your family, you will lose your faith, and you will lose your focus. Number four. How else can I teach my children and fail my children and forget my God? Well, if I give to God or give to the church and the mission of the church with the same enthusiasm, I pay my taxes. Anybody in here love to pay taxes? We just, yeah, I can't wait. Man, I can't wait to April 15. Man, I can't wait to write that big old check to Uncle Sam. No, nobody does that. We despise it. In fact, some people file to be able to do it later on. Right? Why? Because we just don't. That's why people, you see people in famous people cheating their taxes and all that. And why? Nobody wants to give away their money. Well, if we approach God the same way we do Uncle Sam, then that teaches bad habits, creates bad habits. Number five. How can I lose my family, my faith, my focus? Do the best you can to make sure the kids arrive on time to sporting events and school events, but don't worry if they miss or are late to church. I know that's a big one. But there are people that will lose their mind. We got to get there. People will drive out of control. They will make sure their kids go to sleep before EQTs. They will make sure they have the proper eating, that they've done this. Why? Because we've got to make a good grade on that test, and you've got to do well, and you've got to be there for every ground ball and every dribble and every dance and everything. We've got to do it. Oh, Sunday's here. I don't care. Let's just sleep in a little bit. Maybe we've already lost our faith, our focus, and our family if we're not careful. Number six, you want to lose your faith, your family, your focus? Bring your family to church only when A, you have nothing better to do, B, you have a personal need, or C, you feel really guilty. Now, don't get me wrong, God can work with us anytime. He can. If you came for any of those reasons today, guess what? I hope you leave here finding God, focused. So He can work with us anywhere we are. But if that's my mindset that, hey, you know what? Hey, today's a good day to go to church. You know why? Because, man, we all, you know, I just don't have anything else to do. I mean, really? God of the universe? Number seven. You want to lose your faith, your family, or your focus, or all the above? Don't volunteer for anything or make any kind of long-term commitment at church. Remember, you've got to keep your options open to do things that are more important. That's only 4 days, by the way. 4 days. Hey, I got to check my schedule. I got to do this. I got to do that. I want you to know, we changed VBS a few years ago. We did. We changed it from July because it conflicted with so much school starting earlier, and we moved it. This is how many years, Justin? Maybe year two we've done it this way? Or three? Three? Okay. Listen, it's not changing again. The first Sunday in June, just no. Okay, that's when it'll be. But sometimes we think, oh, I got to check this, I got to check that, and I'm not just talking about VBS, I'm talking about a lot. It's my heart today, okay? Number eight, here's one you want to... This was said yesterday by Jeff, and I'm going to make a point about this. You want to lose your faith, your family, your focus, keep changing churches every few years. Now listen, we have some folks that left for a lot of good reasons and came here, and you are phenomenal church members at Azalea City. And you're not going anywhere, and I appreciate that. But I'm talking about the one that gets offended every 5 minutes or whatever and says, oh, no, we're going to get mad. I'm mad at the preacher. I'm mad at the elders. I'm mad at the youth minister. I'm mad at whoever. And they offended me, and I'm going to leave. You keep doing that and your family is gone. When they get out of the house, they will not attend church service. I'm just telling you, that's going to happen. This was said about Gerald yesterday, and I appreciated Jeff's words. Quite frankly, some people there needed to hear it. He said about Gerald King, he never looked for a reason to leave. He always looked for reasons to stay. How about instead of looking for reasons to leave, let's find the reasons to stay. Number 9, remind your kids how imperfect your church leaders are and regularly point out their mistakes. You want to lose your faith family focus? Keep pointing out our elders, ministers' mistakes. Hey, by the way, I got a lot of them. I mean, if you want a long conversation with your kids negatively, you can talk about Terry. I mean, I've got a lot of them. But that's not what it's about, is it? Chances are you do too. You know? Are elders perfect? No. Am I perfect? You better believe I'm not. Justin? No. But I promise you we'll give you the best we've got. And then finally, you want to lose your faith, your family, your focus? Whatever you do, don't let church influence the way you live your life. You see, when it comes to our faith, when it comes to not forgetting God, when it comes to being genuine, authentic, and real, we need our families, our faith, and our focus to step up. Our families need more than church service. In fact, here's what he said. He said, number one, impress your faith on your children. You want them to stay faithful? Impress your faith on your children. Number two, talk about your faith at home, on the road, when you go to bed, and when you get up. Number three, tie it to your hands. Number four, bind it on your forehead. And number five, write it on your door frames. You think God meant for us to teach our children? I love Justin, and I love Ashley, and I love Jack. Jack, I'm just knowing you, but I love you, brother. I love Courtney. But if Bo and Madeline lose their soul, that's not their fault. That points right back at me. And see, we've got to remember that we've got a responsibility to show our real faith. Number two. You're like, Terry, you're giving 40 points. Well, here's the actual number two. We got to get real with our real God. Let me try to illustrate that for you. The Israelites had a little box they carried around. And this little box is called a mezuzah. Okay? The mezuzah, they could tie it around their necks. They could put it in their satchels. Okay? And they could carry around and they would have a copy of the law, maybe the Ten Commandments or something like that. And they'd have it with them all the time. They'd have it around their necks. They'd have it there. And you know what? They were doing exactly what they thought they were supposed to do. They were going through the legalistic way to do it, but they weren't being real about it. They weren't being genuine about it. So they'd keep it in their satchels. They'd keep it around their necks and they'd do whatever they wanted. They did what they were supposed to do, but they left God in the mezuzah. We can't put our real God in a box and have a real faith. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles. You see, when I carry my God around in my heart, my mind, my soul, and my all, I'm still going to have struggles, but now I've got the solution. You see, we need to carry God everywhere we go. We can't just carry Him in our mezuzahs or in our boxes or in our cars or wherever. We've got to carry Him in our heart. We got to carry Him in our mind. We got to carry Him in our soul. We got to live Him each and every day. What will happen? Here's what's promised. If we do that, if we put God first, it will go well with us, verse 18. We will prosper, verse 24. We will eat and be satisfied, verse 11. We will receive righteousness, verse 25. And God will deal with our enemies, verse 19. Boy, isn't that a beautiful thing? I mean, sign me up for that, right? Well, here's how you do it. Put God where He needs to be. Be real with Him. He's real with you. He's real with me. And then finally this morning, how can I make sure that I do not forget God, that my family does not forget God, that my focus is on God, my faith is where it needs to be. I need to display real Christianity. No one ever says, will the fake person please come forward? Anybody in here want a fake preacher? Because I'm not going to be. Listen, my goal in life, the way I minister, and I think my kids can back this up and my wife can back this up, I am going to be the same guy here as when I'm cutting my grass, as when I'm working on a project. You know, I'm going to be real to you just like you want to be real to me. You see, that's what the world is interested in. They're not interested in fakeness. They're interested in real Christians. People that struggle but recognize who the one to give them strength is. God doesn't want fake Christianity either. How can I make sure I'm real? Can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can't be ashamed of it. You know why you're here today? If you're a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, you are here because of the power of the gospel. It pricked your heart. It convicted you just like it did that 3,000 in Acts chapter 2. The number grew to be 5,000 men, and then it grew so much they were growing by multitudes. They said they turned the world upside down. It convicted people. It gave them hope. We can't be ashamed of that. Another thing we've got to do is we've got to take up our cross every single day and follow Him. Every day. That doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes, but guess what? They'll see you're real and you're genuine and they'll understand the blood of Jesus Christ. Number three, He's got to come first. I cannot say that enough. There are a lot of people that miss 20, 30-something Sundays a year that probably think God's first in their life. I will never understand that. You see, something else is coming first if God's not. I mean, I can't be any more plain than that. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Okay? Listen, that doesn't mean I don't make mistakes, but I'm going to tell you, God is first in my life. Our children know God is going to be first. We are going to put Him first. I make a lot of mistakes in life as a dad, as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, as a preacher, but that's one I'm going to get right because hell is too hot. Got to come first. You want to grow the church? Hey, let's just get the ones back. That'll be a start. Put Him first. Finally, we got to love Him with everything we've got. I got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. There was a young Jewish boy who grew up in Germany many years ago. This young man had a profound admiration for his father, his earthly father. He played a big part in his life, like a lot of fathers do to their son. The father saw to it that the life of their family revolved around the religious practices of their genuine faith. The father led them to the place of worship faithfully. Faithfully. But in his teen years, however, the boy's family had to move to another town in Germany. This town didn't have the kind of faith, the kind of worship, the church that they had been a part of. So the father got to inquiring, and the town only had really one place of worship. And it was contrary to what the father believed. But what the father learned is all the people that would pay his bills went to that church. And so you know what he did? He made the decision to leave his genuine faith and go to a fake faith because it made his business good. This is a true story, by the way. The young man was bewildered and confused. He didn't want to leave, but Father made him. Soon his deep disappointment gave way to anger and a kind of intense bitterness that plagued him through his life. Later on, and as he grew up and left home, he left Germany, went to England to study. While he was there, he began to write a book. In that book, he introduced a whole new worldview and conceived a movement that was designed to change the world. He committed the people who followed him to live their lives without God. That young man grew to be Karl Marx, the founder of the communist movement. The history of the 20th century was significantly perverted by Marx's teaching, in large part because his father sold out his faith. Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to deliver us out of bondage. He went to the cross to make a better way. In fact, when Thomas is standing before him in John 14, he says, "We don't know the way." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And we know that. And we understand the importance of it. But somewhere along the way, we sometimes forget. Is somebody today gave you $1 million? Would you forget them? No. I can answer that for you. You would not. You would not forget them. In fact, you would write them birthday cards. You would bake them cookies and cupcakes and all that stuff. You'd have them over for dinner, and they would be your BFF, best friend forever. Jesus Christ did far more than that. Have we forgot him? If we have, let's change it right now together. We stand and sing.